Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless. Day it is to be in the house of the Lord. Though we have come to gather in a building, the house is you and I. This isn't really the house of God. It's all of the moving tabernacles in the room. It's every body and mind and person that's carrying the Holy Ghost. We are the church. The church ain't a location, but it's in each and every one of us. I missed y'all last week. I was on heavenly business, but y'all handle business back on the home front. Shout out to the team. I want to publicly acknowledge y'all for holding it down in these spiritual streets. Y'all did an amazing job. I was watching y'all from online. We got a new soul, the salvation last week. Yes, to add to our million plus souls. Shout out to Janelle. She did a thing last week, baby. Baby, she came for y'all. She said, I want y'all to know I'm built for this. I'm made for this. She was up there so comfortable. I said, look at my child. Look at her up there. Just flowing in the Holy Ghost. There's more to come. I want to thank my sister who always comes to support my family, her daughters, Apostle Michelle Foster, Apostle Dr. Michelle Foster, my sister in the faith, and so much more. I love y'all, my nieces. Y'all can come anytime y'all want. I love to see y'all faces. We're continuing our series on the 30 spiritual warfare weapons to defeat witchcraft attacks. It started out as our Halloween series, though Halloween has passed. The enemy has not come back from his plan. He's continuing his evil plans and schemes against the people of God. So the series does continue because the enemy continues and he contends. But the battle that he's fighting is one that has already been won. My goal is to partner with the Holy Ghost and empowering you and equipping you with the knowledge with how to stand to war and to win in the midst of the chaos, the confusion, and all of the things that the enemy does so that you are well-equipped, not ill-equipped in this battle. So if you want to catch the first 10, we're actually starting 11 today. We're going to go through the next 5 weapons. The first 10 is on my YouTube. You can go back and read and listen and watch those for the first 10 weapons. But today we're going into weapon number 11. I've been enjoying this because one thing the Lord has graced me in is building something that I've never seen and I never had. And when I came on this side of saved, I fought harder on this side than when I was outside. And we haven't done the best job with teaching people what it looks like to truly follow Christ and to be successful in our walk, which is why we have so many that are backslidden and so many that even leave the faith, because it's just so hard. The truth of the matter is, it's not really hard. It seems hard because we are not operating in our full function. Because it does get easier the more we get to know God and the more He shows up in you. It gets easier the more you get to know God and the more He can show up in you. And that's where the disconnect is. Because it's like, okay, God, I said the sinner's prayer and I've accepted salvation. I got God in my heart. But what does that mean? To carry God in your heart. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if God is in your heart, why are we speaking death? When God overcame death, He's the way, the truth, and the life. So what's happening is the people of God in their carnal minds that need time to transform into the renewed mindset so that they can actually walk transfigured and receive and move in the glory of God. Access to partnering and being successful, not just in spiritual warfare, but in life, in your committed and commissioned endeavors in the earth. This isn't just about going to heaven. And his religion has taught us that his sole purpose in coming to the earth was just to save and to keep us from entering into eternal damnation in hell. And fear by the church has said, if you don't accept Christ, you're going to go to hell, burn. So we have people that have accepted Christ, but have not accepted God's purpose in the earth. God came to destroy the works of darkness in addition to, right? So we can't limit or put God in a box that God is just here to give me, to do for me, and to save me. There is much more to Him making the decision to place you in the earth. It wasn't just to come to earth and die and go to it. That doesn't make sense. Because as a spirit being, you were created and founded in the spirit already. So we are actually people, we are hosts, carriers of God's glory to fulfill His purpose in the earth. And if we're not doing that, then we're illegal in the earth because your body is borrowed. Your life is not your own. It belongs to God. Your body is a temple, Bible, for the Holy Spirit to dwell. It is not for you to abuse, to misuse, to manage the way you want. Because the only reason you have a body is because in the spirit realm, it's illegal for a spirit to reside and move in the earthly realm without a host. So there are disembodied spirits, which is the Holy Spirit or demonic spirits. And so Jesus himself cannot move in the earth without you. So we can say all day, I don't have to do anything because Christ did it on the cross. There's some heresy out here right now that people are abusing grace, and people are saying, pastors, ministers, I've heard them. The finished works are complete. The finished work. So I've heard pastors say there's no need for repentance. And so many things. And if you don't know, well, you know what? God did it. It's done. I'm blood washed. I don't have to do anything. That's a lie. From the pit of hell. I'm telling you that it's deception and it's a lie. It is not true. So the enemy knows more than you the legal rights that will allow him to move in you versus the Holy Spirit. But the children of God either don't know what weapons to use, don't have access to them, or you got a few, but y'all got some dull knives. Y'all trying to cut a steak with a butter knife. And you can't figure out why it's so hard. Why can't I cut this steak? And you got the wrong utensil. Or you got a dull one. The Bible said that iron sharpens iron. So you around a whole bunch of lukewarm, half standing, half down, some Arnold Palmer kind of relationships. Half tea, half lemonade. That's what it is. And you trying to figure out why you can't get to the other side. So it is our job as leaders to express, equip, and allow the Spirit of the living God to reveal himself. So that you're not ignorant to the devil's devices. So that when the enemy show up in the midnight hour and you can't get up out of your bed because you're experiencing sleep paralysis, and you go running to the church saying, pray for me, and they struggling too. They can't tell you. And then you get stuck in the cycle. And you want out. And it's like, you know what? Why am I going to continue to follow Christ? I keep going to church. Nobody's telling me or explaining to me why these things. Why am I seeing figures and images and angels and things and all of this? They running back to the people like, we got powerless churches and people who are so worried about their announcements and their agenda that they're not making room for the move of the Holy Spirit. We got three services. But out of three services, everybody's still leaving bound. Week after week after week. It's just a revolving door of people going nowhere. Half of the congregation is dying, sick, ill, mentally, physically. When we should be praying healing. Why do we have rows blocked off for handicap in the church? We making ramps. The church? So we just got a whole bunch of sitting ducks in wheelchairs so we can accommodate a spirit of death? We gonna give them a seat? A front row one at that. Yeah, be seated. But God forbid we let the King of Glory, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ain't got no seat for him. The nerve. But y'all making room for the devil to sit. Do we not read the Bible? Where the lame man, the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years. And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? And we're walking past the handicapped section to collect tithe to the storehouse. We're walking past people every week that if we really sought God, he could actually move. And we wouldn't need rows of handicapped. We'd be kicking wheelchairs up the road. But instead, we would rather give our 2 points, our 3 songs, and our 1 hour service so we could get to the next service. What are we doing that for? If we can't get the job done in one, what we need 3 for? So let me get back into the weapons. Please, when you get a chance, sorry, my sister's laughing. When you get a chance, go back and look at the other 10. It'll change your life. And I got 30, and there's more than that, but I'll spare you that. We'll be here all year. Pastor Philip been in Matthew for 2 years, so we'll be all right. You know, the saints got microwave attention spans. After next week, they'd be like, can we talk about something else? Nope. Not till the Lord says we can move on. That part. Because you're going to need these weapons real soon. If not now. Not just for Halloween. Because the devil is still on his post. Are you on yours? I'm just saying. So, weapon number 11. Lord, I'm going to get back on track. Peace. That was him. That wasn't me. Peace. Peace is a weapon. Peace is a weapon. And you better use it in prayer. You better use it in spiritual warfare. You better find you some scriptures in the Word on peace. Because I'm going to tell you something. The devil cannot dwell in an atmosphere of peace. Because the devil knows nothing but chaos and confusion and calamity. That's how you know when the devil is in a place. Is when it's foolala and a whole bunch of hoorah and a whole bunch of confusion. Even in the church. The Bible says in Philippians 4:7, whoever wants to come up and read it, please read it with authority. Philippians 4:7. My G baby want to read it. Let's move with a purpose, son.
Philippians 4:7. I'm reading out of the NKJV. And it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus."
We love that. Peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. I've come to know that kind of peace. I couldn't cry if I wanted to. And sometimes the situation before me is cry worthy. I can't muster up a tear for nothing. Because the peace of God, God be like, peace be still. And I literally am just sitting. I'm sitting there like, I should be rolling on the floor right now with the news I just got. But when God, when it says here, it'll guard your heart, that's an action. What did I say about your heart when I started? And when we receive God in our heart, that means he's guarding it. Let's not just speak scripture. Let's put it together. If he's in your heart, if he's walking with you, that means it's not your peace, it's his peace. And that means he's standing on guard. So the devil can't come in and play with you. That's how you know. When you have peace, when you shouldn't have peace. That it ain't nothing but God. And that's what you need. Peace is not a passive function. It says that the peace of God guards your heart and your mind in who? Christ Jesus. So when Christ is guarding, it's like, he's like, get back, Jack. Peace is a weapon. It's not passive, it's protective. Because God is a protector. The peace of God is a guard, so it's a spiritual bodyguard. Stationed at the gates of your heart and mind. Because the scripture says heart and mind. So when you let your mind wander and you have no peace, that means that God is not the guard. That means there's been a changing of guards. The guards changed. Whoever, do y'all remember my gates teaching? And I said, whoever guards the gates has the city.
There's a governance. So, if the guards have switched out and you don't have peace, that means the enemy is guarding your heart and your mind. Are y'all tracking? So that means you got to do something. He's not supposed to be guarding that gate. The devil, because you belong to God. Do you know people die because they can't find peace? Because they're tormented in their mind. It says heart and mind. That's why we have so much mental health issues. And people that can't come back. Because the enemy is now guarding their minds and there's no peace. And they think, the enemy said, the only way you're going to get peace if you unalive yourself. But that's not what God is saying. God is saying, let me be the guard of your gate. And let me be the weapon of peace that surpasses all understanding. Ain't nobody gonna understand why you in such peace. So the enemy thrives in emotional warfare. That's why your emotions are tossed to and fro, tossed to and fro. You here today, you're not here today. But when you rest in peace, you starve his influence. You gotta starve the enemy. See, the devil, demons need to be fed. I'm old school. There was a movie called Little Shop of Horrors. There was a Venus trap. And he started out small and seemed harmless. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch it. And that doggone thing probably scared me to this day, to be honest. He kept feeding this thing, and it kept growing and growing and growing to the point where he was running from him. He used to say, feed me, Seymour. And then he got real raunchy. He was like, you ain't got no authority here. Go give me what I want. He was clowning. That little plant, he acted a fool. That man was so scared. But this little, hey, baby, that's right. This little Venus trap thing grew to be a monster. The devil, it starts subtle. Just do this. Just do that. It's okay. To that thing so big, you'll be like, how did I get here? How did I get here? I don't even know how to get back. I don't even know where I used to be. How to get back to even there? How do I get back to ground zero? Forget moving forward. Listen, I'm just trying to figure out, get me back to normalcy, back to infancy, back to where it started. Maybe then I can start over. This lady up here talking about her taking me to my next. I gotta go back. I gotta go back to the foundation. Help me, Jesus. So when the witchcraft winds blow in your life, peace, confusion, calamity, when the clowns keep clowning in the circus, Yeah. The rumors, the lies, the anxiety, the false dreams. You don't need to shout back. You don't need to clap back. You don't need to get back. You don't need to go back. You need to be still, because the Bible said, peace be still. And he also says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And stay in peace, because the devil gonna leave you. Because it's not fun when the rabbit got the gun. It's not fun when you're not playing the game. So at some point, the devil gonna be like, I gotta go. Because this is not fun. When everyone else is panicking, you be sipping your tea like, my peace is paid for. That part. Try again, devil. Not today, not tomorrow, and not the next day. That's not denial for your situation. That's dominion. Simple. You're not denying that the situation is taking place, that it's set before you. But it's how you take dominion. Peace. Next weapon, number 12, hope. Me and God really went to this one, because I've been tussling myself in the spirit. Y'all know I'm a transparent pastor. I'm not finna play games with y'all. Because my hope been, not my faith, my hope. My faith is strong. But my hope, that's a hope. Romans chapter 15 and 13. Who got it? Romans 15 and 13.
Romans 15 and 13, I'm reading out of ESV. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing.
So I want you to start over and slow down.
Okay.
Please.
Romans 15, 13, ESV. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit in hope. Amen.
Whose power? Yours? Holy Spirit. That's why hopelessness is dangerous. Because hopelessness will take you out of here. Yeah. Huh. We going there too. Hopelessness will put you in a grave. And the only way that hope can really be activated is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So your hope cannot waver, just like your faith. But God is the God of hope. That's what the scripture says. It says, may the God of hope, which means he owns hope. He is hope. Even when you ain't got no hope, or you think someone you praying for is hopeless, oh, ain't no hope for them. How many times we heard people say that? Ain't no hope for them. Ain't no hope. That's a lie. Because the God of hope fills you with joy and peace. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So here are two things we just discussed, the weapon of peace. So the God of hope is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he fills you with joy and peace. Joy now becomes your strength. And peace guard your city. You got a whole regime of powerful entities that are functioning in your heart and mind to deliver you and keep you free. So, hope, Proverbs 13 and 12. Whoever's got that.
Proverbs 13 and 12 in the Amplified. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life.
Hope deferred, it brings sickness, will make you sick, because you ain't got no, you lose hope. So I knew, I'm being transparent, when my hope was being messed with in the last week, I felt emotionally sick. I wasn't physically sick, but I was feeling like not good because my hope was wavering in some promises God has given me. It's okay. My hope was wavering, and I'm battling in my mind. But I knew instantly what it was. I said, ooh, I'm losing hope. And I literally said to myself, God, help me. Restore my hope. Because I identify that it's my hope. It ain't my faith. Sometimes you gotta call a spade a spade. It doesn't mean I'm not a child of God. It doesn't mean that God's left me. It doesn't mean, it just means that I'm having a moment where I am feeling my hope being snatched and it is making my heart sick. So I then had to go to God in prayer. Because I knew I didn't have it in my own strength, because the Bible here says that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. That's Romans 15, 13. I just read it to you. So that means that I have disconnected from the vine, the God of hope. So I got a problem. God gave me a solution. Reconnect. Get in the power of God so that I won't be sick. Anybody that's sick, you want to come out of that. You don't want to be, you run into the store, get some OTC over the counter, your head hurt, you feeling sick. What about when your heart is sick? Ain't nothing at the store for that. Ain't nothing at the store for that. Baby, CVS, Kroger, ain't nobody got hope on the shelf. That's why we having this discussion today. So you're going to have to decree and declare Proverbs 13 and 12 that it's his desire to fulfill you with the tree of life. Romans 15 and 13 to abound in the God of hope. You're going to have, that's what you're going to have to do it. Or stay sick. That's your choice. Hope is an optional. Hope is not, it's oxygen for the spirit. Hope, you don't decide, I'm going to have hope today, I ain't going to have no hope tomorrow. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. See, this ain't a motivational speech. I'm going to tell you to your face, you're not going to make it. What are we talking about? Because guess who has face-to-face moments all the time? Me. I be like Michael Jackson, man in the mirror. Just looking. He looking at me, I'm looking at her. He looking at me. I'm looking, he looking. Because really, I'm looking at God. I'm just housing this body. So I have face-to-face with God. Those are my cool of the day experiences. Conversation with myself. Because I am in him and he is in me. Yeah. So it's oxygen for your spirit. Proverbs tells us that when hope is delayed or deferred, the heart grows sick. A heart that's lost hope is a heart that's lost its fight. It's a heart that's lost its focus. It's a heart that's lost its faith stamina. So even your faith walk starts to get slow. That faith walk, you start, instead of walking with your head held high, and you got faith, you walking like you got scoliosis on a cane and a crutch. With an infirmity. Because, I'm finna tell you, sickness is an infirmity. If the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick, then that means you now are in agreement and alignment with the spirit of infirmity. And that's why your head hung low. You singing swing low, sweet chariot. But you ain't standing and abounding and moving boldly and moving by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are now infirmed, weak. And the devil say, huh, she's losing her hope. Now I'm finna get you. And then he pull up on you. Oh, she losing hope? And he does a side swipe. You already halfway to the ground anyway. How easy is it? That's why hope is a weapon. Do you know that witchcraft knows that? These wizards and witches and warlocks, they know it's one of their chief strategies to delay and discourage you. It is one of their chief strategies for those that are like me that are waiting on promises of God, that are waiting, 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 waiting. It is one of the enemy's tactics to delay and discourage you until your hope expires. Then when your hope expires, you become a hopeless believer. And a hopeless believer will not swing their sword. Because the faith stamina requires energy. I told you hope and faith are not the same. Faith is what? The evidence of what? Ha ha! Oh, y'all learned the scripture. Y'all thought the scripture was just to be looking at it? Faith is the evidence of things I want to hear the whole room hope for. So how can you move in faith? And the evidence of what? Hope and faith work together. So I said, my faith's not wavering. But I saw my hope being touched. And I said, uh-oh. How do I course correct? Because when you become hopeless, you won't fight. I'm teaching you how to fight. Some of y'all ain't never had a fight in your life. That's okay. I didn't know when I was outside fighting that I was going to teach people how to fight in the spirit. Because the devil was like, oh, she's a fighter. Don't you want to fight this person? Don't you want to? I was like, yeah, leave my stuff alone. Now I'd be like, yeah, leave God's people alone. Or catch this fire. You know? So I want y'all to be able to swing your swords. I told you, you have weapons. You don't know how to use them. You bring in a knife to a gunfight. And then you bring in a butter knife. On top of that. And you wonder why you broke, busted, and disgusted on the battlefield. It's a battle out here. Whether you partner, participate, or not. The devil's still coming for that tail. You can run, you can hide. Ooh, who was that? Lauren Hill. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. I'm going to find you and make. What did he say? Won't say? You know the rest. But we don't want them. But the devil wants you. You can't run. You can't hide. Because I'm going to find you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Huh? 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 Yeah. He coming to contend. And you sitting there with your little butter knife shaking in the spirit. Finna get drunk. I don't want that to happen to you. I'm trying to help you. Just come to church. Just come to church. But look at the rest of the verse. Let me get back to the word. A desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Let's not forget that part of the verse. That means restored hope produces revival. I am a revivalist. I am a divine disruptor. I am an atmosphere shifter. You might not know my name, but I carry the glory of God so heavy because God walked heavy in my life. He walks heavy. I am a giant in the spirit. So when I come in a room, it's fee, fi, fo, fum. Who wants some? Don't be mad at me. Because it ain't me. I'm moving in the same power and the authority of the one and only Holy Ghost, who's omnipresent. He don't just belong to Tina. He ain't just my God. He's your God, too. So when we gather, it should be like the land of Canaan when they shaking in their boots. The kingdom is here. And we all supposed to be walking heavy. Not just one or two people. Everybody, anybody rolling with me is walking heavy. You know why? Because there's too many battles we got to fight. I can't have people behind me tucking tail and running. I need you to have my front, my back, and my side. Because the giants we got to slay, you got to be on target. So I'm not afraid or upset when people don't walk with me. I understand. But Restored hope produces revival. When your expectation is resurrected, that's revival. It's not just us praying fire down and people falling out at the altar. When your hope rises back to the place it's supposed to be, that's revival. Then your fruit starts growing again. Joy, fruit. Strength, fruit. Faith, fruit. Now, joy can work with peace. Peace can work with your faith. Faith can work with your hope. Fruit of the Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 13. Right? The God of hope. We tying it all together. So now they can work as a unit, as a regime for battle. Amen. You can't receive God's promises with a sick heart. I'm sorry. You can't. So when disappointment hits, don't drop your hope. Doctor it with the word. You just ask how? That's how. Don't drop your hope. Doctor it with the word. You know why? Because Romans 15, 13 said that the God of hope, he's still writing your story. You ain't even seen it yet, really. Amen. Why you can't let go of hope? Let's talk about it. I told y'all this was going to be a tough one because God really dealt with me in this one, especially because I was dealing with some things. Why you can't let go of hope? Make sure you got your journals out, your pens, and your pads. Why you can't let go of hope? Hope is your prophetic GPS. Hope is your prophetic GPS, meaning it keeps you pointed toward the promise when everything around you looks like a detour. I don't know about you, but when my GPS shut down, I be shaking like a stripper on a pole because I don't know where I'm going. I'm confused. I shocked homeboy in the back. You awake now, ain't you? He was never asleep. Just teasing. Y'all done had that happen. You done been out and y'all from far. You done been somewhere. You don't know nothing about where you at. And that GPS be like, I'm like, no, I don't know how to get home. Help me, Jesus. I wasn't paying attention. I'ma start paying attention, Lord. Come back, technological systems. I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I'm taking all out of my purse. I'm throwing all of my GPS. Come back. Revive. Resurrect. I need you now. Come back. You know the saints don't anyway. Just add that to the list. Hope fuels endurance. Hope fuels endurance. No hope, no stamina. No hope, no stamina. Period. Remember I talked to you about how I was feeling sick? But I wasn't sick. But emotionally, my mind was like, you sick. And I was trying to bring myself back. You lose stamina. You tired now. You fatigued. You can't get out the bed. You just sitting on the floor.
This thing is serious, y'all. So, hope you need to fuel your endurance because you need the stamina to endure to the end. This walk is not for the weak. God even prayed that your faith don't fail. Even God said, don't grow weary in your walk. Because when you lose the stamina and the endurance and you move in hopelessness, it will affect your life. Do you know that spiritual warfare requires spiritual cardio? That's why you can't wait till you get bust upside your head to now pray spiritual warfare prayers. You gotta stay steps ahead of Satan, because he's coming to the day you rest and raise again. I hope I'd be glad when this season is over. It was so much warfare, and it's still coming. So you need the spiritual cardio, my pole team. Baby, they be on that treadmill running. They be on that spiritual treadmill. Wake up. It's time to pray. Wake up. Let's get it. Wake up. Let's go. Sometimes they got to wake me up. I be like, ooh, did I say that? Holy Ghost must have said that. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep too. Holy Ghost say, you got to do this. I be like, we going to do that. And then the day come, I'll be like, ooh, I'm tired. Spiritual cardio. You got to stay ready for battle. If you've ever been in the military, they train. They don't wait till the war comes for deployment. Who in here been in the military? You didn't wait. You got up at 5:45 in the morning doing what? PT. You better get up at midnight or 4 or 5 or whatever time God gave you and do your PT. Get your spiritual cardio up so you can run this race. Otherwise, you're going to have a hard time. Hope, guess what else it does? It attracts help. Who's the helper? Holy Ghost, my best friend. When you still believe, angels move. The angels move. Letting go of hope is like handing the enemy your sword and saying, you can finish the fight. Nah. Don't give the devil your sword. You can't retire in the middle of revival. Sorry. I'm tired of the praying. I'm tired of waiting. Hope deferred. Sick. You sick. Let me give you a few examples real quick of hope restored. Biblically, Abraham and Sarah. Romans 4:18, read it on your own time. It says, in hope, he believed against hope. When biology said it was impossible, God said it was possible. Abraham's hope was weaponized by his faith. He became the father of nations because he refused to let deferred hope turn into doubt. Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Years of barrenness. Years of hoping for a child. And that barrenness could have birthed bitterness. That's what's happening to a lot of us that are barren spiritually, and we don't see the promise, whether it's a child or not. And then that begins to birth bitterness. But hope kept Hannah praying. Hope kept Hannah praying. The moment she poured her soul before God, heaven answered. And her promise was born. She was humiliated in her wait. Hannah was humiliated for being barren. Some of you have been humiliated. But guess what? Hope bursts. You ready? Harvest. Hope bursts harvest. So God exchanges your humiliation for a plentiful harvest. Job. Job said 13:15. Read it on your own time. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Though he slay me, yet I will hope. Trust in him. Whatever translation you read. Even in ashes, Job defied hell. And Job's hope gave him double for his trouble. Harvest. The prodigal son, Luke 15. The father kept the light on, the porch light. The father's hope that he would return, he kept the light on. And that steadfast expectation is what drew the prodigal son home. My daughter is one of those. The light is who? You. The light is who? The Lord. That's why your light can't go dim for nobody. Hope restored relationship, and hope restored inheritance. When you catch yourself saying, maybe it'll never happen, that's your cue to pick up hope again. If you don't get nothing else I say today, no, you're not in the best place. And you need to realign. The next thing I'm going to ask you to do is write the promise. I don't care if it's already written down. Write it again. Write it again. Then you're going to pray out loud. And then you're going to worship until your atmosphere catches up with your prophecy. I just gave you a blueprint. See, I'm not going to leave you hanging. Gave you all these scriptures and you walked out confused. What do I do, apostle? And then you do whatever else the Lord tells you. Write it down. Pray out loud. Then you worship. Until the promise catches you. Because the enemy gonna whisper to you, it's too late. It's too late. Laugh back at the enemy and say, perfect. That means the resurrection power of God is coming to raise me back up. That's how you fight back. We talked about clapbacks.
Hope is your holy clapback. Hope is your holy clapback. When the devil say you ain't gonna make it. You say, devil, you a liar. My hope is restored. Holy clapback. Thank you. Nonetheless, the devil can't do nothing with that. Weapon 13. Sorry that one took so long. That was one that hit real hard for your girl. Honor. Honor, 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 honor. Guess what honor is? Yes. But it's the forgotten armor. Romans 12 and 10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do you honor not just your mother and father? Do you honor the people you serve with? Do you not only honor them, do you honor your spiritual mother? Do you honor the leaders, the people that God has brought into your life? Honor goes more than one way. I honor my team. I serve my team. So when people see me in public and they see them serving me, that's because we serve one another, do we not? Am I up here lying? Call me out if I am. It's live. Okay. So when the saints be like, they idolize her. When you don't know what real honor looks like, it looks like idolatry. Because people don't know how to serve without a motive. How to... People don't know, so it looks foreign to them. But I cultivated the atmosphere. That's why they serve y'all when y'all come through the door. Because the oil flows from the head down. Yes, they honor me. And you better believe I honor them. Honor will open doors that you would never get any other way. I'm reading the Bible to you. It says, outdo one another in showing honor. Honor seeds ain't just for your leader. Just saying. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule, I'm in ESV. Let the elders who rule well. See, y'all gotta really read y'all Bible. Because we got some elders that ain't doing right. And y'all honoring folks who are unrighteous. And y'all putting people on pedestals that don't belong there because they got platforms and lines out the door and mega lattes and three services. And they ain't got no oil, no anointing, no power, can't help you with nothing. But they got a t-shirt for you. They got... I got a commute. We gonna get together. We gonna shondo, rendezvous. They ain't even gonna shondo. because they ain't even filled with the Holy Ghost. But we're going to have little cliques and clubs and call them small groups. The Bible in 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. Especially, Janelle, those who labor in preaching and teaching. Every one of the laborers in this room, I call you up to teach, I call you up to preach, because I'm not the only one that got something to say. I'm not the only one that can hear the Holy Ghost. And because I honor you, I'm the elder, I want double honor too. So, because of the team model, that's right. I'm not here for people to sit in pews. I don't know how long I'm going to be here with this Dallas plant. Y'all better get it and go. Because I got 5 plants to build. We can't still be sitting here looking at me 5 years from now. The Bible, 1 Timothy 5:17, says the elders who rule well will be considered worthy of double honor. Thank you, Lord. But it says, especially. Especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Me, you, and whoever else God is calling to this. Honor is armor. It's the posture. It's a posture. Be very careful of people who you find talking about those that they serve underneath, even the ones that they've left. I just sit back and listen most times. And I watch how people speak concerning those who once that they served. And I determine where I'm finna fool with you. Watch your mouth. You can, when you dishonor the men and the women of God because of how you feel, your opinion, you are cutting off your hands. When I say you're cutting off your hands, I mean, can you hold money with no hands? Y'all gonna be saying, look, mom, no hands. Ain't nobody gonna be dancing to that. Because if you can't hold, what you gonna hold it? What you gonna hold? You need your hands. Honor is a posture that keeps you protected. Honor is a posture that keeps you connected. That's why people leave ministries, leaders, places, because they have lost the honor. You have become common, familiar, offended, mad. And your heart has dishonored them, even if your mouth don't speak it. And the dishonor disconnects you from the oil. It disconnects you from the poor. It disconnects you from revival. It disconnects you from the inheritance. That's why the Bible says, honor your mother and father. Just give me a second. I'm finna get there. When you dishonor, you disconnect from the flow of grace covering your life. When you dishonor,
the man, the woman of God, your sister, your brother, you disconnect from the grace. That's why you outside struggling. Because you disconnected. You went into a season, into a place maybe God called you to, but you stayed there longer because you didn't, until you repented of the dishonor. When someone is covering your life, you don't disgrace that. You don't dishonor it. Because you feel some type of way. And if you do, you're going to disconnect yourself from your inheritance and the oil, period. Dishonor doesn't just make you rebellious. It makes you reachable by the enemy. The enemy has a field day. With your finances, your dwelling, your mind, your movement, until you repent. When you repent, then the doors will open. But it still comes with a consequence. It still comes with a consequence. I'm going to leave. I don't have to put up with this. That's what we say to God. That's the truth. Maybe in an indirect way. We're saying that when we say, I'm not praying no more. That's, I'm packing up my stuff and I'm leaving the playground. You can leave. So witchcraft thrives where dishonor dwells. You better believe it. Witchcraft has a field day in the area of dishonor. But when you walk in honor, the oil flows freely. And heaven backs you up. You don't honor people because they're perfect. That's not what we do. You honor because you're kingdom. When you break honor, you break covering. Very simply, you can't expect the benefits of protection when you've unplugged from order. There will be no benefit of protection. You better know you're finna be out there flailing. Let me give you an example. You tell people, that's still my covering. That's my covering. That's still my covering. It's still my covering. While gossiping and rolling your eyes. That's how you cut your own cord of protection. Stay humble. Just like the white hotel towels will humble you. You trying to cheat and bring your own towels? The white hotel towels make you feel like you took a bath all week. Stay humble. Stay humble. Stay humble. Stay teachable. Stay connected. When you posture yourself in honor, you position yourself for overflow. Overflow. The oil only flows from the head down. Not from the sideline up. The oil flows from the head down. It's
Stay aligned, stay anointed. Spiritual warfare prayers, weapon 14. We're done with honor. Y'all repenting now in your head. Oh, Lord. When's she going to get off this weapon? You going back to childhood. Who did I dishonor? My mother, my father. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I don't care if your mama was a crackhead whore on the corner. I don't care. You don't dishonor them. You might not be connected to them. You might not talk to them, but you don't dishonor them. You don't. Whatever they did the best they could. Whatever they had, they gave you what they had, no matter how big or how little it was. But at the end of the day, you still give them honor. God chose them for you. Warfare prayers, weapon 14. I told you, do not wait until the battle comes, the attack happens, to start praying warfare prayers. Pray them now. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert to watchmen. With, it ain't what it said, but with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You can read it in whatever version you have it. Ephesians 6:18. Prayer is not begging. It's bombing runs. Pow. Tornadoes. Pow. Lightning. Pow. Thunder. Pow. Bombs. They're bombing runs in the spirit. When you pray in tongues, you're launching targeted strikes. Targeted strikes at demonic infrastructures. You don't miss the target in tongues. We pray in tongues. I hope y'all following the instructions. Don't have me out here lying to the saints. At least an hour a day. At least an hour of the day. That is the training and the expectation here. You pray in tongues an hour a day. At least. Demonic infrastructures, they coming down. You don't even know what it is. Witchcraft can't survive a praying believer. I don't care how many warlocks is lined up at your house. I don't care how many witch covens are coming. The kingdom of darkness cannot stand against a praying believer. That's why we pray at all times without ceasing, with thanksgiving, with prayer and supplication. One thing you know about flawed and free, we're going to pray, baby. We're going to pray. The saints come in, even on Sunday, they be like, they still praying. Baby, that's light work. That's light work. We going to pray. And your prayer life going to come up too. It's just what it is. Pray the word. Decree your victory. And stir up your spirit, praying in tongues through spiritual warfare prayers. Stop saying, I'm under attack. I posted this the other day in preparation for today. Stop saying, I'm under attack. I'm being attacked. I'm being attacked. Become the attack. The devil's more afraid of you than you are of them. Become the attack. Weapon 15. It's the last one. The blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Plead the blood. The blood of Jesus is your ultimate defense system. Revelation 12 and 11 says, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Nothing but the blood. Jesus. Nothing but the blood. The blood is not just symbolic. It's a legal transaction. Hey! It's an exchange that cancels every curse, every hex, every vex, every spell, every incantation, every demonic claim over your life. The blood still speaks. The blood still covers. And the blood still wins. You don't plead the blood out of fear. You plead the blood out of authority. The blood enforces heaven's verdict. It enforces the verdicts of heaven. The verdict by the blood, I operate in the courts of heaven. We won't go in there today because I'm already over. But the blood of heaven, the blood of Jesus, enforces the legal transaction of the not guilty verdict. Because every single one of us is guilty. I don't care how many times you go to church, how much you pray, how good your tongues is, it ain't gonna work. You need the blood. I need the blood. Because I need that legal transaction to stand and to cover me. Because I'm unrighteous, but the righteousness of Christ is what allows me access in my inheritance. So the blood of Jesus is not just because I'm afraid. It is a ticket. It's that VIP ticket. And the verdict is not guilty every time, because it was already paid. For the blood-bought, born-again believers in the room, already paid. All of your sins already paid. When witchcraft tries to revisit your lineage, because they are, draw the line in the blood. When nightmares show up at night, apply the blood. Why do you think the death angel had to pass over on the day of Passover? They put blood of the lamb sacrifice over the door, the lintels, and the posts. The whole perimeter. The blood. Apply the blood. When your name gets mentioned in the wrong circles, the blood says this one's covered. The devil and his witches can mix potions, but the blood of Jesus is an unhackable firewall. Why are we scared of witches and cauldrons? And there's no need. Apply the blood. Walk away. Apply the blood. It's an unhackable firewall. The devil can't even come past, touch it. No spell can cross what the blood covers. You can chant all day, all night, all week, all month, all year. But when you covered under the blood of Jesus, stop crying about witchcraft. Just keep applying the blood. Keep applying the blood. Father, in the name of Jesus, We've just completed our last weapon. I hope y'all enjoyed that. The next five will be next week. And then we'll be a little more than halfway done with the series. But if you missed the first 10, go back on the YouTube on Flawed and Free and catch up on the last 10. They good. I've enjoyed putting them together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we activate these five weapons in our lives today. Let your peace guard our minds and hearts. Let hope anchor our souls in every single storm. Keep us aligned in honor under divine covering. Ignite our prayer life with fire and precision, and seal us in the blood of Jesus, the undefeated power that cancels every curse, every vex, every hex and spell. We decree that we are covered, connected, and consecrated. No witchcraft can prosper against the weapons of God. Father, we give you honor, glory, praise, thanks, for there is no one greater. There is no one bigger. There is no one better. Let us see you in all that we do. Let us seek you in all things. That even when we've lost our way, that you will bring us back. Even when we wander, that you will leave the 99 for the one. Father, we want to serve you with our whole hearts and minds. We yield, we submit, and we surrender to your way above our own way. Nonetheless, oh God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God. Father, move us out of our own way. Help us to move out of your way, God. Help us to stay committed to the things you've called us to, the things we started, that we will finish well, that we will endure to the end, God. That we will not waver in our faith, that we will not lay down hope. That we will take a hold of peace that surpasses all understanding. That we will be still and know that you are God and God alone. We don't need crystals and tarot cards and astrology and psychic mediums. And we don't need false gifts, things for comfort. That we will put you first. We will make you our one and only. We don't have to couple you with other things. That we trust in you. My God. As some of your heads are bowed, I want you to give God a new yes. If you're in the room and you're an unbeliever and you've not yet chosen God as your personal Lord and Savior, please feel free to come up so we can pray for you. God desires you. God wants you. God wants to heal you. God wants to help you. God does not want you trying to figure things out all the time. It's already figured out. All you gotta do is ask. All you gotta do is say, God, I'm tired. I don't know how to live and walk righteously in you. But if you'll just walk with me. If you raise your hand where you're seated right now, I'll walk with you to the altar. Just know that you're not walking this journey alone. One of the things the enemy uses is isolation, withdrawal. We don't feel like we're understood. We don't feel like people want to be around us. We don't feel like, you know, we feel like no one sees me, but God sees you. God sees you. He knows you and he wants you. Glory be to God.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.